What an extensive section as we read chapter 3 and also this portion in chapter 4. It tells you a little bit about what the Lord has to deal with in the church, how He has to deal with you and me when we are commanded, when we are called to do something for the Lord. Another title of this message could be A Lion of Excuses. So indeed, a lion not only represents strength and courage, but in the book of Proverbs it also represents excuses. For in chapter 23 and verse 13, and then it's repeated for emphasis in chapter 26 and verse 13, the slothful person says there's a lion in the streets. In other words, something's going to happen to me if I have to work today. I might have an accident, or I might get hurt, or I might get killed. And we might as well use that excuse. There's an errant driver on the highway today. What is an excuse? How would we define it? Is it like time, that you can't define time, although you can measure it? How would you define time? A measure of eternity? How do you define excuse? An attempt to release someone from a duty or a calling. It's an attempt for me to be released from a duty or a calling. A reason put forward to defend or justify a fault. And in many cases, it actually can be a lie, where we're not telling the truth. And, of course, if you and I have ever procrastinated, we, in our procrastination, give excuses of why we didn't accomplish a task or begin a task. As you look at these passages in Exodus, there's no doubt that the Lord would teach us about diligence and faithfulness and dependability as far as our calling before God is concerned. So you have quite a few examples of excuse. Then you have an explanation in God's patience toward us and our excuses. And really an examination of the excuse. And then, to help our memory, third E, the elimination of our prop of excuses, where God will give an answer, or Moses, in a sense, gives an answer that's unsaid. Moses' excuses are many. As you look at one category, you have duty and calling or responsibility, and then in the other column, you have complaint or excuse. For instance, in chapter 3, verse 10, I will send you to Pharaoh. Moses' excuse is, who am I? We'll unpack that hopefully a little bit later. A second excuse is verse 13. Tell them that God sent you. They won't know you. Thirdly, verse 1 of chapter 4, they will believe you and listen. Moses says, they won't believe me. Chapter 4 and verse 10, in a sense, go and speak. I'm not eloquent. In chapter 4 and verse 12, go. And he says, please send someone else. Please excuse me with his excuse. So at least we have these, what, four or five excuses on Moses' part. May I apply this to you and me and step on my toes and maybe your toes? Moses' toes were stepped on. Our duties and excuses. Just give a sampling. Be saved from your sins. I'm not religious. I'm not a sinner. Or I am religious. There's more than one God. Or someday I'll be saved. Read your Bible. I'm not a good reader. Well, we can be good listeners because now we have a Bible not only on paper but in our devices. Be baptized. I'm afraid of water. Well, that's why we have sprinkling and pouring. Someday, I'll be baptized. Attend public worship. Find a good church. Join a covenant church. I'm shy. Sunday's my work day or Sunday's my recreation day. There's no good church. I have the internet. I'm afraid of COVID. Someday. I like being independent. There's too much pressure on holiness. Hypocrites are in the church. There are no churches that I can agree with. Someday. I'll get around to it. I'm a workaholic. I've had a bad experience in churches where it's too far away from where I live. Be a witness for the Lord. I'm not eloquent. I'm afraid of questions. I'm lazy. I'm cowardly. They don't know God. They won't listen. I don't know what to say. There's a lion in the way. There are dangers to be a witness. Get a job. I like my freedom. I like living off the government. I don't like to be bossed. I might get injured. Get married. I like single life. I like my video games. I'm a workaholic. Have children. They're too expensive. They're too difficult to raise. I like my luxury. I like my toys. I've had a bad upbringing. Conduct family worship. I'm too tired. Personal devotions are enough. I'm not skilled. I find resistance. I'm afraid of failure. This is an application to you and me, isn't it? So let's not look down our nose at Moses. Let's say, Lord, in the mirror, I'm in the need of prayer. The Lord has many things for us to do that are in His will. And I believe every single one of these, unless you're called to a single life, is in the will of God. And the Lord will arm us with what is needed to fulfill His calling and His commands in our lives. And secondly, we have an explanation of excuses. An excuse can simply be unbelief. He didn't believe in God's power. God said to Moses, I'm God. I'm the Lord. He appeared to him in a burning yet unconsumed bush. He was with Moses, showing him His omnipresence and His omnipotence. I will deliver you. Notice the I's involved. I will deliver you from Egypt. I will deliver you unto the land of Canaan. I will cause the Exodus. His excuse was simply unbelief in God's power, in God's presence, in God's Word. And our excuses can simply be unbelief. I don't believe that Bible reading will really help me or that family worship is really necessary to the strengthening of our marriage or our family. Unbelief in God's presence. Who am I? And the Lord doesn't answer him, you're something, Moses. You've been brought up in the palace of the king. You're a great orator. No doubt he had to take speech in Egypt. No doubt that he was a great warrior. He had to be in the military. He was a great scholar. But the Lord, in a sense, answered him, you're right. You're a nobody. It's me, Moses. I will be with you. And we've got to learn that lesson. In a real sense, we are nobodies, but by the grace of God. Who am I? Who are we? But who is He? That's where we need to focus the attention. He will not call us to do something that He will not give us the grace to succeed in with His help. An excuse is simply a fear of failure due to our ignorance. Who are you? They're not going to know who you are. Neither do many people out there know who God is. But who's going to tell them? How will they ever know? Fear of failure that is really focusing on unbelief. They won't believe me due to my weakness. I'm not eloquent. No, we are not. Our tongues get tied up in the roof of our mouths, don't they? It seems like our minds freeze when we meet someone and face them with the gospel. But the Lord can unfreeze my mind and unfreeze my tongue and loose us. Or He can simply let our tongues be stuck to the roofs of our mouths and our minds seize up and yet have the love of God in our countenance or on a piece of paper to hand to somebody that will do the talking. An excuse can simply be disobedience. No, thank you. Send someone else. I mean, what was that? That was a polite resistance on Moses' part. Polite. But it's resistance. No, thank you. I don't like this calling. I don't like this command. In other words, we can pick and choose what God says in His Word. Sometimes we approach God's Word to change it and not for it to change us. There are things in here that cross our convenience. But like Calvin said, do we offend God to further our convenience? Or do we accommodate a friend or a loved one and offend God at the same time? Who would we rather offend? Someone even who is a loved one or our loving God? And sometimes you can't be unoffensive to both. Sometimes there's a sword put right before us. Why do you have to go to church? A loved one might say. Because God commands me. Because it's the Word of God being preached. I'm being fed. It's furthering the fellowship of the saints. God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. An excuse can simply be a lie. They won't believe me. God says they will. They will believe. No one will ever be saved. And the Bible says that there will be a multitude that no one can number. An excuse is what we use, our excuses, not just Moses, our excuses of unbelief. God will save them. He doesn't need me. God will provide for my family, even though I don't get a job. Our presumption, our excuses can be presumption, seeking results without means. God uses, for instance, family worship to see our children converted and strengthened and growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Fear of failure. Disobedience to God. A lie. It won't help. They won't believe. Simply, our excuses can be sloth. It's too hard. There's too much required. There's a lion in the way. The Lord is causing us, I believe, to face reality. Come before God and say, oh God, I am nothing and I am weak and I have failed and there's no way I can accomplish what You've called me to do, what You've commanded me to do, unless I present my body afresh before You and say, Lord, here am I. Do with me what You please. Just help me to do Your will. Strengthen me. Help me to no longer build a wall around me with excuses. To know, Lord, that You can use me to further Your cause. To see my family help. To see my children converted. To see them go on with God. To be a help in the church of Christ. To be a factor. to deal a blow to the devil's kingdom. God's answer, His explanations are there in His freeing up Moses from his excuses. He emphasizes His presence. Certainly, I will be with you. Literally, I, myself, will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're not being sent out alone. Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth. He promises Moses success. He gives him a token. You're going to have a retreat back here at Mount Sinai, and you're not going to be alone. The whole nation's going to come back here for a retreat. I will bring you up out of the land of Egypt into the land of Canaan, and you'll be back here at Mount Sinai. And I wonder if Moses, as he was seeing Sinai in view with a couple million people before him, he remembered God's promise, His token of success. Revelation strengthened Moses. I am that I am. I am the ever-present one. I am the eternal God. I am the uncreated Creator. I am the one who always existed. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. That strengthened Moses. The God was unique and there was none like Him that He could never lose. He was the indefatigable, the weakening God. The Gospel of the Covenant strengthened Moses. I am the God of your fathers. You're not alone in this. You're not a lone ranger, Moses. You're not beginning a new religion. You're not an Adam. There's a second Adam that's come that will succeed. I am the God of your forefathers. In other words, this is a covenant gospel. This is a covenant relationship. And you're in the line of sinners saved by grace that have been chosen and called and saved by the Lord, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a great comfort to know that the church is a covenant family of God in union with the Lord. That the Lord has saved us on purpose. That we're part of the whole. The church in heaven and the church on earth. He preached to Moses. And he said, "You'll be preaching for me. Say unto them, the Lord appeared to me." That's what the Lord tells us. Preach to the people. Witness to them. Have confidence that my word will not return void. Be honest. And the Lord was honest with Moses. He said, it won't be easy. Look at chapter 3 and verse 19. I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. Moses, it's not going to be easy. There are people that aren't going to listen. There are going to be people on one side that say, you're a really nice man. You're a really nice lady. Wow, you're a good Christian. Like they said to Ezekiel, you've got such a nice voice. But they didn't believe. And then you have others who, like Jeremiah, they did to Jeremiah, they lowered him down or they dropped him down into an old cistern full of mud, hoping that he would die there. It's not going to be easy. But, he says, I will be with you. But I will send my wonders, my plagues into Egypt. Moses was strengthened by the fact that God would judge those who rejected him. I will send my wonders, verse 20. Oh, did he send wonders? He sent the plagues, the strikes. It was like he was striking at Pharaoh and at the unbelieving Egyptians, one after another, the frogs and the lice and the grasshoppers and the murrain upon their domesticated animals and the water turning to blood, like to take a bath in a river of blood, darkness, and finally the last straw, the straw that broke the camel's back. Death of the newborn. They reaped what they sowed in the slaughtering of the Israelite children. God promised Moses he would be blessed, verses 21 and 22. As you leave Egypt, they will enrich you, seeking to facilitate your speed out of the land. Miracles that God did for Moses. The rod turned into a snake. The hand became leprous. The water turning to blood. You say, only if God would do some miracles before me, maybe I would become more courageous and faithful. Well, brother and sister, the incarnation of the Son of God, the atonement of the Son of God, the resurrection of the Son of God, the ascension, the return, the judgment, the reign of the Son of God. We have miracles that have been performed, that have been executed, that are promised by the Lord Jesus Christ. God will empower us to do His will. Chapter 4 and verse 11, who made man's mouth? No, we aren't eloquent. God can use you and me in our sphere of service. His command was helpful to Moses. Go, verse 12. But you know, God used anger in Moses' life. I think there was a lot of fear involved too. The Bible says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. I'm afraid of God's chastening. Aren't you? I'm afraid that the Lord might say, okay, you're becoming a tree that isn't producing fruit or insufficient fruit. Give it a year. See, the Lord has the power to say, Phil, come home. Your time is up. Your excuses are many. As a Heavenly Father, He has the right, doesn't He? But you know, the last help to Moses was God's gracious accommodation. You notice that He didn't say, no, I insist that you go alone at it. He says, okay, I'll give you your brother Aaron. He's coming to meet you. Just like the New Testament, He sends them out two by two. Isn't that an encouragement of the Lord? There's a lesson for you and me. Especially when we have something difficult to do, call up a brother or sister and say, will you help me? Will you go with me at this difficult call? Will you go with me to reach this soul, to face this trial? That's why the Lord has given us one another and ordained that His kingdom consists of churches throughout the world, believers in fellowship with one another. And you see where He sent out the 70 two by two. See, so often my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth and I turn to my neighbor with me and say, you talk. We need each other, don't we? Love one another. Pray for one another. Admonish one another. Forgive one another. We speak with one another. Oh, the patience and long-suffering of God. The excuses were answered so graciously. Does Moses give any answer? You know, there doesn't seem to be any answer as we search the Scripture, but one. Which tells me that God was able to overcome all those excuses, those obstacles that Moses had built around his life. You know what the one answer that Moses gives? It's simple. Look at chapter 4 and verse 18. And Moses went. God overcame his obstacles. That speaks volumes. That says to me that Moses said, you're right, Lord, I am nobody, but you're everything. I'm not eloquent, but I'm thankful you're going to give me an assistant. Because it wasn't Aaron only that did the speaking as we read. Moses did a lot of the speaking. God overcame his excuses, didn't he? Moses believed God. Moses led the people out of the land of Egypt. Moses was there at Mount Sinai and as the people retreated together. Moses was there to speak to Pharaoh boldly. And God can give you and me victory over our excuses, over our sloth, over our unbelief, over our cowardice, over our fear of failure. What do we do with unbelief, cowardice, presumption, sloth? We repent of it. Repentance is underlined in the fact that Moses went. You say, how do you know Moses repented of his sin? Because God doesn't use impure vessels. God will not use someone who is impenitent. Moses repented of his disobedience. He had faith in God's word. May God help us to trust Him and not say, Lord, send him or send her, but Lord, here am I, send me. I'm nothing. I'm a nobody, but you're the God of heaven. And to look in the mirror and not look around and say, my brother or my sister's in the need of prayer. Lord, it is I that stand in the need of prayer. No more excuses, Lord. Let a lion be in the street. We can face the lion. What does the Bible say? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let there be deranged drivers on the highway. Drive more safely. Keep your distance. Pull over. Trust that you and I will not leave this earth if we're doing the will of God until God is through with us. Until He determines that it is our moment to die and to be with Him. Let us face all the dangers that we're going to face. And especially the insufficiency we feel in ourselves. And trust the Lord that He will never leave us nor forsake us. That He will be with us. And that He will cause our lives to bear fruit for His glory.